Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Slack is a new way to communicate with your team. It replaces email with something faster, better organized, and more secure. In a world where people could be anywhere, it becomes your office. Try it for free at slack.com. Slack, where work happens.
This episode is sponsored by Schwann's.com. What are you having for dinner tonight? Good question. Schwann's Home Delivery has a solution for you. Stock up your freezer with high-quality frozen foods like premium meats and sides, delicious ready-made meals, ice cream, and more. No subscriptions, no memberships, just a friendly yellow truck that's been delivering food for almost 70 years. Listeners of this show get a special deal. Get 20% off your first order with code YUM20. Check out schwanns.com/yum for details.
Gotta keep losing, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Because you've come this far.
That's a Jet touchdown.
Live.
The Jets get their first win of the season.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Every time I say,
gotta keep losing,
a piece of me dies.
I mean, it's the greatest feeling in sports, you know, to be able to ice the game out and know we had it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show. From NBC Sports, Peter King. Still to come. Army head coach, Jeff Monken. Plus, Fox Sports NFL analyst Aqib Talib. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Peter King, great chat with him. Army coach Jeff Monken will be calling us in a second. We'll set that up before he does join us. Aqib Talib is joining us in hour three. I loved his call yesterday on Fox, and it was great. Just hearing a refreshing voice, a refreshing take, and somebody fresh off the field who is absolutely ready to tell us exactly what he's seeing and doesn't have any sacred cows. It really was dynamite. And so he'll be joining us in hour number three. Our phone lines are lit, and we'll take our phone calls in a second. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Jalen Hurts is now named the starting quarterback for just the Dallas Cowboys game, right? He wouldn't name him for the rest of the year?
Just week 16.
You know, when you name, it's a smart move, man. Let everyone ask, well, why won't you name him for just the next 2 weeks? I'm taking it one game at a time, whatever. Because the minute he says it's for the rest of the year, that's when it, I mean, it's just, it's still the same conversation, I guess. It's just, you're able to say, we're not moving on from Wentz. We're just continuing on with the hot hand or what have you. But what a hand Jalen Hurts has. That was such a fun game yesterday that I was watching. I mean, all three of them in the afternoon, watching the Chiefs go up early and then the Saints come back and then seemingly have this thing totally lost. And then they score again and made it a three-point game. And my gosh, the Jets beating the Rams. And absolutely sticking a dagger in my hopes for Trevor Lawrence. And now it looks like it's Sam Darnold's show. Unless the next 2 weeks of the season winds up with the Jets losing out and Jacksonville winning one. Jacksonville takes on the Bears next week. Matt Nagy says they're not going to look past anybody. Can they maybe hire Greg Williams?
Just bring him back.
I don't know. It's a special assistant. Jets fired Greg Williams too soon. They did. They really did. They did. They just, you know, held on.
What if the Jets win out? Build momentum for next year.
The Jets win out, and what they wind then maybe they wind up picking third behind Cincinnati too. I don't even want to go there yet. 844-204-RICH number to dial here on the show. Let's take some phone calls of some folks here. Kathy in Philadelphia has been hanging on the longest. She was first in. You are first up. How you doing, Kathy?
Hey guys, how's it going?
We're doing well.
Kathy, what's happening?
What's up, Kathy?
My birthday's tomorrow, so the Bills gave me an early present this weekend. It's very, very exciting. So I just have two quick things for you, Rich.
Yep.
And you know, I don't want to kick you when you're down.
It's all good.
You know, it's a talk show, so let's talk. Two things: one, a question, and then a suggestion. The first, I don't know if you believe in karma. But let's just say, hypothetically, there is a well-respected sports media personality who uses his platform to suggest that a NFL executive from a team in, I don't know, the NFC West trolls a specific team that he is about to play with a maybe not-so-great moment in their season. And then we fast forward to this past weekend when that same sports media personality mm-hmm. has to watch the team that he wanted to be trolled win their division while then watching his team, the team that he has chosen to root for, lose all hope of a future by losing to a team from the NFC West.
Uh-huh. So are you saying me? Okay, my gosh, Kathy, normally you don't wear a tinfoil hat when you call into the show, but so you're saying because I told Jed York when he was taking first control over Arizona's home because of everything going on out here that he should show the Hail Mary before his first opponent in that building, the Bills, take the field. That was bad karma for me, and it wound up with the Bills winning the division the day before the Jets actually win a game. Is that what you're saying? That it's my fault? Is it my fault,
Kathy? Well, Rich, I'm not saying that I'm superstitious, but I am a little bit stitious. So I look at patterns, and NFC West to NFC West, it's a difficult pattern to ignore.
No, I think, again, I appreciate it, Kathy. Thank you. Call back. Happy birthday in advance. I take no blame for this. Hey, look, man, Jets played a game yesterday, and they showed up, and they hit the Rams in the mouth, and the Rams were not either ready or prepared for it, or they thought that they could just do this thing with one hand tied behind their back. So that's a fact. But seriously, we saw like the Rams run some schemes where they thought a rub route here or their defenders would have trouble switching and the defenders just switched like they're, you know, Pro Bowl veterans. I don't know what the hell got into them yesterday. I do not know what the hell got into them yesterday.
What is it that you tweeted out? Larry Fitzgerald, Frank Gore, all these old, quote-unquote, old-timers scored touchdowns.
Yesterday, Frank Gore, Larry Fitzgerald, Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell all scored on the same day.
Unreal.
Which is why I tweeted out it was a great day for my 2016 fantasy team. But I also asked the NFL research group, when was the last time all five of them did score on the same day? I was off by a year. It was early 2017.
Wow.
It's been 3 years since all five of those guys scored on the same weekend.
Unreal.
Yeah, man. I got to be honest with you. You know, Bills win their division for the first time in 25 years, okay? And they got their guy. Do they have their guy?
Unbelievable.
Do they have their guy or what? He is just taking names. He is coming for your soul. He is Josh Allen. He is coming for your soul. He is going to find Stephon Diggs 50 times, and then the other times he doesn't find him, he'll find Cole Beasley or Dawson Knox. John Brown's going to come back, and he's finding him. And when he's not doing that, Brian Daboll's calling up Statue of Liberty plays that get called back due to holding. Here's how good Josh Allen was on Saturday. 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 2 in the air, 2 called back by penalty. He had the soundbite of the year that in that silent stadium in Denver with no fans, the microphones picked up. After he had the second one called back and he's celebrating and you could hear what he said when he realized it was going to be also called back due to penalty, he goes, how many times do we have to score? Line of the year. That's how he's feeling it right now. And normally could you imagine if Baker Mayfield said that? We'd be like, what a cocky guy. Oh, go make another progressive commercial, Baker. I mean, all of that stuff. But with Josh Allen says it, that's cute, man. And it's more than that. It's like, I can do it. All right. You want me to score a third time? I'll do it again. You want me to do that? I mean, the feeling you get when your team is on the wrong side of Josh Allen is the same feeling you're getting from any other quarterback in the league who has full command of his offense, full command of his pre-snap reads, full confidence in his own ability and his teammates. Name other guys who are doing that right now. Their names are Mahomes, and Rodgers, Russell Wilson on occasion, where you feel like, are we going to get the ball back? Or this guy's fading back again? Again? Oh, God. Who's going to be wide open right now? Honestly, that's what the Bills have in Josh Allen. Yeah. And they win their first division title since 1995. And then the next day, the Miami Dolphins, with their fruit from the Belichick Tree and Brian Flores.
Great coach. Man.
Send them, the New England Patriots, into the offseason. They eliminated the New England Patriots from playoff contention. Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa did that. Didn't look pretty. Doesn't matter. I'm looking at the standings. I don't see a picture. But the Miami Dolphins, yesterday, with their young quarterback, going against a coach who devours rookie quarterbacks for sport, as we saw with Justin Herbert just a couple weeks before on the road in Los Angeles. He goes on the road in Miami, and he does have Tua out of sorts without Devontae Parker and Gesicki and many other pieces on offense and defense. Huh? What does Miami do? They don't fold. Dolphins win. They have their ninth win of the season and send New England not only to their first losing record since 2000, but done for the year. Done for the year. Non-winning record. Done for the year. First non-winning record in a long time in New England. That's what Miami does. And the Jets, they get a win from their young gun quarterback, and the win screws us. Leaving our future up to, like, what's going to happen now? Because if Trevor Lawrence doesn't come, you know who's not going to take the job? A bunch of people who normally would. Or be interested in it. Or thinking of coming out of retirement for it. With all due respect to Sam Darnold. Without this kid from Clemson, there's a whole host of coaches that are suddenly not interested in working for the Johnson family and coming to New York and being part of that organization. Especially for a general manager they might not even know in Joe Douglas. So even with the Jets winning with their guy who was drafted before Josh Allen in the same draft, future's up in the air. Not with Buffalo and not with Miami. Good on them. Matthew in Oklahoma, I'll take your call. How are you, Matt? I mean, what a win! You got to be out of your skull. You got to be out of your mind.
I'm beyond out of my skull. It's Christmas time right there. Merry Christmas. I'm sorry to
it's all good.
Keep you on a little bit. I feel bad for you. I have a little bit of bad feeling for you, but you know, I don't feel bad for the Jets, but I feel bad for you. But you know what the best part is? I got an early Christmas present, and the Bills get to play New England next Monday night, and we get to poo-poo on them, hopefully on national TV, Josh Allen again.
Well, I mean, that would seal the losing record. That would seal a losing record.
It's gonna happen. It's destiny. I'm starting to believe it. I'm starting to feel it. I might be crazy, but watch out, man. Watch out. It's coming. It's been too long, 25 years. I got gray hair. I was 18 years old the last time they won the division. It's coming.
Congratulations. It's coming. And you got the guy, man. And thank you. Congratulations.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Same to you, brother.
See you, Matt.
They got the guy. Remember, Josh Allen was like, he's going to be inaccurate.
Right.
He only throws it 90 million miles.
Exactly.
And he throws it only 90 million miles an hour. The touch and the accuracy was going to be the issue because of, you know, and I said that, you know, like that. You don't hear anything anymore on that front. Right. Somebody tweeted back at me, it wasn't accuracy issues. It was his mechanics. And I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
Mechanics leads to accuracy issues.
Sure.
But he's fixed all of that. And then they got the whole setup with Brian Daboll, the OC, who knows, he's dialing it up, man. And then the Bills did the right thing. Let's use a one in a draft filled with wide receivers. Let's use a one and go get Stephon Diggs.
Who wanted out?
How has that opened a door for this kid and this team and this offense? Blown it wide open. Sky is the limit. Honestly, ask the 49ers, okay? Ask the Steelers in the second half of that game. Ask the Broncos. This kid, again, oh, he's fading back again. Oh, God, he still has the ball. Oh, my God. Oh, he's on the run right now. Oh, God, he's running out of the pocket. He's a nightmare. He is playing like a nightmare for the opposition, Josh Allen. A nightmare.
What I love about Josh Allen, too, is like they play in Buffalo, you know, super small market team. He's kind of, there's a mystery about him. Like, the only thing you really know about him is that, you know, he crazy chances and he can throw at 100 million yards. and he's got a cool cereal. Like, you know, he's not out there. He's not doing national commercials like everybody else.
Not yet.
Like, it's
not
fun,
yet.
Man. I'm happy for Bills fans. I know a lot of them.
Not yet. Bernardo in Santa Clarita. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Bernardo? You there, Bernardo?
Hello, Rich.
I'm right back at you. What's on your mind, sir?
Brockman, TJ, Del Tufo. What's going on, boys?
Hey, everybody, what's happening, man?
Oh, you know, it's been an interesting weekend with the Jets, but Rich, I discovered something that's actually making it okay.
What is that?
It's called weed. ever since I moved, it's a tragedy, but like it's okay. It's like gangrene is in full effect. You know. Anyway. So, all seriousness,
yes.
I called earlier. We discussed. We thought we'd lose to the Raiders, but we lost to the Rams. So we knew this was going to happen. But,
no, we didn't.
So
no, we didn't. No, we didn't. Bernardo, we did not.
We got an audible. No, we're getting in the draft.
No, I'm not there yet, Bernardo. I'm not there yet, and I appreciate the call,
Bernardo.
And I appreciate the whole self-medication, the gummies, and, you know, I've got three children at home. Thank you for the call. I'm already wondering that I'm already concerned I'm not modeling healthy behavior for my children. That's not the direction we're going.
Bernardo will have a
and
job.
And I'm not ready yet to talk about what happens with the number two overall pick. What do you do then? I'm not ready for that talk yet. There's still time to go. You cannot tell me that the Jacksonville Jaguars, you cannot tell me that with Gardner Minshew, that Minshew mania with the Bears in their house on Sunday is out of the realm. You cannot tell me after what I just saw happen just up the road here in the Stan Canyon with the Jets beating the Rams, you cannot tell me after the Jets lose by 37 in Seattle and come back and beat a 9-win team, you cannot tell me that it is out of the realm of possibility for Trubisky to lay an egg on the road in Jacksonville this weekend. That's what I'm focused on, one game at a time. I don't have a crystal ball. It is what it is. I'm controlling only what I can control. That's my remote. And my behavior. And my intake of whatever I put in my lungs and my mouth. That's it. That's all I'm doing. I am not here to entertain what next. What happens here? Not there yet. Don't want to be there yet.
I mean, I have mock drafts up. Do you want to know who you're?
I don't want to know.
Slated to take?
No. We still have a whole week of shows to do. Right. I'm not there yet. Right. Today is a day to say again, my five word phrase: don't get me started. Do not get me started. And also, what the hell just happened? Those are my five word phrases that sums up my Jets fandom in my 51 plus years. Now, that could also sum up what our next guest, who's going to call in just a couple minutes, just to set the table here, is going to say. Because we are all focused on the college football foursome that was chosen by the College Football Playoff Committee. And also outside of that, where one of the college football playoff games is going to be held. It was, in fact, one of the semifinals moved out of the Rose Bowl, put in the Jones Mahal. So fans and friends of family can go and fill up that 100,000 seat stadium as opposed to one out here in California where the local authorities will not let fans in the stands. That's a big move. It's unfortunate for the Rose Bowl. Terribly unfortunate. So we're all focused on that. And then the bowl games get filled up. The Independence Bowl. Army was supposed to play in it. 9-2 Army. And they were supposed to play a Pac-12 team that decided we're not playing. And teams are basically saying, if it's not for the national championship, like USC would be great to play there. And they're ready to go if they were chosen by the College Football Playoff Committee. Unfortunately for them, they lost to Oregon, which had a heck of a 2 days with Justin Herbert and Marcus Mariota playing Thursday night, and then Oregon substituting for Washington, which couldn't play due to COVID, and taking advantage of that and beating USC. USC saying, we're not playing. We're not going to the Independence Bowl. All the teams are now, apparently, Army's knocking on their door saying, we need an opponent. And everyone's like, I am not playing you. at 9-2.
Yeah, they don't
with that offense that nobody's that nobody has seen since, you know, the first year the Rose Bowl was ever played. You know?
Yeah. Triple
so now we talk about how we thank troops for their service. The troops would like to be served an opponent. And they don't have one. And they want one. And that sets a table for Army coach Jeff Monken joining us. That's next. And then later on in this show, I will give you, again, the fix for all of this with the college football playoffs. I've been pounding the table on it for years. We'll do it again. That's still to come. Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? This holiday weekend, Amazon Prime Video is the place to watch the NFL live with back-to-back games on Friday, Christmas Day. The Vikings take on the Saints in an NFL Christmas special. Then, on Saturday, the 49ers face the Cardinals in a division showdown only on Prime Video. Not an Amazon Prime member? Don't worry. Sign up for a 30-day free trial and you'll get both games and you can catch all the action on any device almost anywhere in the world. So, this holiday weekend, relax, tune in, and enjoy the NFL on Prime Video. Friday, Vikings Saints. Saturday, 49ers Cardinals. Coverage begins at 4 Eastern on both games with kickoff at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, both on Prime Video.
Friday's game is also available on NFL Network and Fox. Simulcast subject to change, presented by Bud Light Platinum. Also available on mobile and in select markets.
So this was the scene when the Bills returned from their Saturday night win in Denver. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. That's awesome.
Again, we hope everybody there is masked up best they can. But it's been 25 years, man. 25 years. AFC East champs. Oh, my gosh. This pandemic sucks. There's just no other way to put it. I see a scene like that, and I'm like, I hope nobody gets sick. And then, you know, this moment that Bills fans have been waiting for 25 years, they can't sit in the stands and watch it. Right. Can you imagine?
A playoff game in Buffalo?
Hold on a second. Not even that. A Monday night, week 16, where they get all day to just get the tables ready,
the
if you will.
Yeah.
No, to send the Patriots home.
Yeah.
To send him home with a clinched losing record. Could you imagine?
Oh, insane.
What the fans would be like in that stadium?
I've been to one of those Pats Bills games in Buffalo, man. They're crazy.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Here on the show, Aqib Talib will join us in hour number three. He had a dynamite call yesterday of Arizona and Philadelphia on Fox. That was just so much fun. And we'll talk to Aqib. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on NBC Sports on Peacock. I wanted to get this coach on because I think he has been he and his Army football team has been royally screwed. And I don't normally, start a conversation with an editorial comment like that, but that is the way I am bringing in the head coach of Army football, Jeff Monken. How are you, Coach?
I'm great. Thanks for the opportunity.
No, you bet. I wish it was different circumstances, quite frankly. So can you walk everyone through about how you learned that you did not have a bowl opponent for the Independence Bowl and why the bowl is not being played, et cetera, and so on and so forth? Can you set the table, if you don't mind?
We've had an agreement with the Independence Bowl since the middle of last season. They were gracious enough to partner with us to play in their game in 2020, 2022, and 2024. We were thrilled for the opportunity. It's a great bowl game, a historic bowl. And obviously with the season we've had, we were excited on Sunday morning to find out finally who would be playing in the game. And as the day went along, we started to get word that we may perhaps be getting shut out. And it's just the system that is in place, which gives a lot of teams an opportunity to play. It gave us an opportunity to play in 2016 when we were 7-5 and you know, we were considered a 5-win team because of our schedule. We got in. There were enough bowl games. And I love that. I love that we've got a lot of opportunities for teams to be able to play. And so we wanted to partner with the bowl games to have an automatic tie-in, just like the conference teams do, mm-hmm. which we do. And I'm not privy to all of the conversations or all the information, but the Independence Bowl, they extended invitations to some other teams that either weren't interested in going to the Independence Bowl or weren't interested in playing us and were able to go to other bowl games or just opted out entirely and said, rather than going to the Independence Bowl and playing Army, we're not going to play at all. And for whatever reason, they got their reasons. But that left the whole bowl system with less inventory in terms of teams than there are bowl slots. So as of yesterday, there were an odd number of teams that wanted to play. And obviously, you need an even number of teams to satisfy everybody. And with the conference affiliations with bowls and the agreements that have been in place for those teams and those conferences, those bowl games, we were shut out. And it's just very unfortunate to have a season like we did and have a great senior class like we've got. Those guys were devastated to get that news, as you can imagine. Our guys have looked forward to the opportunity to play, and so we're kind of sitting here with our fingers crossed. We certainly don't want to wish ill will on anybody, but we're just hoping that somehow, some way, that maybe there'll be a team that can't play or decides they don't want to play, that we'll be able to fill that slot, and our team's ready to go if that's the case.
Yeah, you're the Army West Point Director of Athletics, Mike Buddy, saying that your team deserves deserves better, period. That's an excellent way to put it. So you beat Air Force, you get the Commander-in-Chief trophy, and you're feeling high, and then you get this news, and it just is a gut punch. Why do you think, and I said that there are teams having reasons, and I understand there are some teams that will be like, you know what, it's COVID-19. If we have one less game of exposure for our players, that's one way to put it. Are teams afraid to play you think, too?
Oh, I don't know why they would be. I mean,
well, you're good.
Well,
you know,
we don't have anybody get offered scholarships by a whole bunch of other teams that play football at this level. So, you know, we're not an overly talented team. I think we got a good team. We got guys that play hard and care about each other and execute well, and that's why we've been able to win. But you know, I guess what I don't understand, Rich, is we've fought really hard for this season. Everybody in college football. There were conferences that essentially opted out in the middle of the summer, and teams in those leagues and individual players in those leagues and parents of those players fought and protested, and we got college football back. And so some of those same teams who fought so hard and wanted so badly to play this season, now when the bowl season comes up, they don't want to play, and I don't understand. And I know that everybody's been through a lot, but I would tell you, I don't know that anybody's been through more than our players have. To come in here on June the 1st, which they did, and some of them, now, our travel squad have been off campus three times. We had three road games this year. But for our guys that don't travel, they haven't been off campus. They haven't seen their parents. They haven't been through the McDonald's drive-thru or anything like that since June 1st. So our guys have been through a lot, and yet they remain committed to wanting to finish this season and play in a bowl game, and they've earned that opportunity. And so I know teams have been through a lot. You know, I hear the stories, and you know, Brennan's team up there at San Jose, they practiced at a different college the whole year, and Stanford's been practicing at a different place. You know, I get it. There's been people been through a lot, and it's been different for every college football player and every team. But this team, these young men, have made a commitment to this nation. They've made a commitment to every one of their brothers that plays college football that we will defend the freedoms and our way of life after we graduate so that football players and football teams and fans can continue to enjoy this game the way we do, that no other country in the world celebrates college sports like we do. You know, that's on the backs of our men and women who have served, who continue to serve, and those that will serve. And we are uniquely positioned as an academy to play in a bowl game. The only academy that is prepared to play in a bowl game this year to represent all those men and women that serve. And I will assure you that we've been through a lot, but our families of our soldiers, sailors, and airmen all over the world, those that are deployed and haven't seen their loved ones for a year, who are going into harm's way every day, they're going through a lot. And they deserve to be represented by a group of men who wear their colors and who are uniquely positioned to represent them. And you know, that's why I want our guys to play. Because not one, they want to play, but two, who we represent makes it all that more important, in my opinion.
Because as you point out, Coach Jeff Monken of Army Football, you know, there are many bowl-eligible teams who have been through a lot and have had to sacrifice in a manner that, let's be honest, we are asking, you know, teenagers and men who are just getting out of teenage years to do, okay, and sacrifice so we can enjoy football. But there's only one bowl-eligible team who is about to, in the future, go through a lot, as you point out, for us as a country. So do you point this out to teams that may be interested in playing a bowl game but then say no to you? I mean, is that something that you do tell them? Like that there's...
I'm not involved in those conversations. Those that's at a much higher level than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that people understand that. And you know what? They're not obligated to give us any charity. They're entitled to play in whatever game they want and say yes or no. And that's what our guys are going to fight for. Yeah, the freedom for all of us as Americans to say yes or no and not be told what to do. And our guys proudly will do that. I promise you. But you know, we want an opportunity to play, and it really would have taken just one more team to opt in and say we'll do it. And so now we're just kind of in the position of waiting. Our guys are preparing. Our players said, Coach, we want to prepare in case something happens. We want to be ready for the opportunity. And, you know, you talk about going through a lot, and to sit here and want to continue to prepare and practice and plan, to fundamentally try to get better as a football player, not even knowing if you'll ever have a chance to play again for these seniors, that says a lot for these guys. And that's why I'm fighting so desperately to get them an opportunity.
So what is, again, as you say, it's going on up the flow chart here to try and get an opponent. Who's helping? I mean, who's here? I mean, who's part of the, if you will, cavalry? What do you got?
We're just advocating for our team, and at this point, I don't wish ill will on anybody. I don't want anybody to have an unhealthy team, but the way college football has gone this year, 20% of the games have been canceled or postponed.
Mm-hmm.
I can only assume that there's going to be some bowl games that are, you know, that are left kind of okay. What are we going to do? We've got a team that tested with too many guys positive, and they don't have a healthy enough team to play. We need to play this game. Army's going to be there ready to go. So if that's kind of what we're preparing for, if that would happen, we'll be prepared to play.
Jeff Monken, Army football coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, again, I know we've been talking about how the system is an unfortunate system, but in terms of coaches poll, you are part of it. And I did see your poll through USA Today, your final coaches poll submission. And I'd love to ask you why you chose Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Texas A&M as your top four, with Indiana and Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Oklahoma behind them. How did you go about your process, Coach?
Those are all great football teams. And it's really hard to try to decide who the best teams are, who the most worthy teams are. Any one of those teams,
mm-hmm.
if they expanded the playoff to eight teams, I think all eight of them deserve to go. They all have a chance. And they all might be able to beat any one of the others. I really believe that. Those are all really, really strong, outstanding, well-coached football teams. But I, like everybody else, kind of had to evaluate. And I try to watch as much college football as I can. I vote in that poll, and I take it seriously. And I think it's my duty to know as much as I can about each of those teams and watch them carefully. And I've tried to do that. And I just felt like the four teams that I put as my top four were, at this point, the best teams, the teams that were were perhaps most worthy of having the opportunity to play for a national championship. And comparing scores and opponents and I guess recently how they played and have they played well down the stretch and at the end of the season, I think that matters, not necessarily how you played at the beginning, but how you played at the end. And they were hard decisions because I have tremendous respect for all of those coaches, all eight of those schools that you mentioned, and for college football coaches in general. I grew up a coach's kid. I've always been around football. I love coaches and what they do for young people and their commitment to people development. And it's hard. It's hard to knowing that that's going to be public and people say, why didn't you pick our team? But I just felt like those were the right four, in my opinion, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. It's why they have a lot of people vote, and there's obviously disagreement on all accounts.
Coach, I appreciate the call. I appreciate what you are doing and what you are attempting to do for your players. And I would just, can you thank them all from all of us here again for. You know, I know currently they're defending and their own figurative turf right now, but in advance of doing that for us and defending our Constitution as they're about to do, and the molder of these men that you are on the gridiron and in the locker room and in the campus and in the community, I say thank you. And you deserve an opponent. I'd love for you to get one. And thank you for the call.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity and. And I can tell you the only thanks that our guys need is the opportunity to serve their nation. That's thanks enough. They consider it an honor and a privilege to do that. I love our guys. I love these players. And I know they want to play. And so I will fight tooth and nail to get them the opportunity. And perhaps it'll happen and perhaps it won't. But we're gonna make every effort to reward these guys. They deserve it. And Rich, thanks a lot for the opportunity. And
anytime,
keep talking about this team because they're a great bunch of guys.
My pleasure. Thank you, Coach. Thank you for the call. There you go. I love that. I love that. Beat Navy.
Go Army, beat Navy.
I know. But he's also saying that this team will represent all those who
That's
serve
right.
our
he
country.
He did say that. He did say that.
But at the very end, though,
Heavy Navy. His own version of Go Hawks.
Oh, baby. No.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
They, we saw how many people in this country say we need to support our troops. Somebody should step up here. The bowl committee, how can they not find somebody to take on Army for the sake of what these men are about to endeavor once they're done with their football careers? Honestly, you know what I mean?
Just want one more game. Just one more.
There's not somebody with their loud jackets sitting at home and saying, you know what, this is ridiculous. Let's go find a team. Let's go find a team. If my team wasn't so racked with COVID that their last three games got canceled, I'd say send them. And this is a team that, as you know, had a ball on their foot to win in a big house.
It's understandable, though, Rich. I wouldn't want to play our Army.
No, but I don't care, though. Like, if
nobody wants any part of our Army.
Nobody wants. I know that, right? Okay, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. More of your phone calls. I've got the fix to this whole stuff that's going on right now, although there is no fix to finding Army an opponent right now. But we'll take more of your phone calls and review a little bit more of what happened this weekend when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Talk about your big Sunday night game. I'll tell you this, folks. This is the Colts' hopes. They will be rooting for the Packers on Sunday night. And New Orleans fans,
will be rooting heavily for the Tennessee Titans. A big slobber knocker of a contest in Lambeau Field for the Packers to have the right to stay in Lambeau until they have to get on a plane to perhaps remove the stench of their previous appearance in Tampa this year. And then there's the Titans trying to win the AFC South. That's what's at stake on Sunday Night Football.
By the way, I think I would 16. Sign for this Super Bowl.
That wouldn't be bad. I mean, you're not wrong.
Give me Derrick Henry on the big stage. Ryan Tannehill, great story. He's having an awesome year. A.J. Brown against that Packer team.
Devontae
Aaron Rodgers.
This is great, man.
Sign me up.
Oh, and as you know, Matt LaFleur coming from the Tennessee organization.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of connective tissue in this interconference matchup. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. You know, we were just talking about the Sunday night game in Week 16, Titans-Packers, so much at stake. And when Josh Allen scored, you know, went on his crazy bonanza on Saturday, and I was just, and it was just like, what a weekend this is going to be, because, you know, I benched him in fantasy. Well, the reason why I benched him in fantasy is I thought, you know, Denver might show up and put the bang thing on him, similar to the one that they did put on Mahomes. Mahomes, as you know, did not go off in their Sunday night game a couple
weeks
ago.
Zone,
right.
I
so I thought that could happen. And I liked the Kyler Murray matchup against Philadelphia, and that wound up being a much better.
It paid off.
It did, because in my league, you get 5-point bonuses for 300 passing yards, which, you know, Allen did. And then a 400-yard, too, which made up for the one rushing touchdown that Allen got that Murray didn't. And then also the turnovers. Long story short, though, I'm staring at my fantasy app saying, man, what a terrible decision this was. So I'm wondering, as Murray's approaching the same stat line, all he needed was one more rushing touchdown. He had 200 yards passing and two touchdowns in the air and one on the ground. I'm wondering, have we ever seen a situation where, you know, somebody's ever done it in the same weekend, and we found out, yes, that had happened just now with Tannehill earlier in the day for the Titans against the Lions, who they beat in part because the Lions special teams coordinator pulled a code red without telling anybody else. Did you hear about that?
No.
When the Lions fired their special teams coordinator today because he pulled a fake punt that apparently he did not tell the coaching staff and some of the players on the field.
Oopsies.
So, you know, Tannehill is a guy who can sling it and throw it and run it.
Oh, yeah.
So I also was wondering, how many times have people done it multiple times in their careers? Do you believe this, though? There's only 6 guys in the Super Bowl era who've done it twice of the stat line that I just told you. And Josh Allen joined 5 other guys who have done it multiple times. Steve Young's done it 4.
I was going to say that was my first guess.
Steve Young's done it 4. The other 2 have done it multiple times.
Michael Vick?
No. Nope. I tweeted this out. I should have looked up the tweet before I went down this road right here. Because I asked NFL Network Research. I thank them greatly because I am basically just peppering them because this sort of stuff just geeks me out. So the stat again, I've got it right here because I know Jeff Garcia, who's one of them, liked it. In the Super Bowl era, only 6 players have had multiple games of 200 yards passing, 2 or more passing touchdowns, and 2 or more rushing touchdowns. There's Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Jeff Garcia, Cordell Stewart, and now Josh Allen.
Cordell.
Slash. Yep. And now Tannehill's got one. Tannehill and Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night is a big game.
Big game.
Aaron Jones and King Henry, a big game. Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown.
Bet the over.
Come on now. That's going to be fun. And Colts fans need the Packers to win, and Saints fans need the Titans to win. Here we go. Big game right there, man.
Buckle up.
Let's go back to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Chad in Salt Lake City, Utah, has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Chad?
Rich, I got to tell you, as I've been listening, I feel for you. I have some empathy for you today. Yesterday, I had to feel like watching Caillou on a loop.
Well, I do feel like Caillou, where I just feel like the world's against me, and all I'm doing is just complaining and moaning and bitching about it, you know. But
I just want to know, I feel for you. But as a Seahawks fan, I have a question for you. And you being a Jets fan and a Jets from back east in New York, and there's a lot of different, you know, cultural things that are different between the West and the East.
Yes.
As a Seahawks fan, should I look at yesterday's Jets win as a late Hanukkah gift or an early Christmas present?
Here's the thing, okay? And I'll say this with the ultimate of respect because I love this organization, and you know I had DK Metcalf. You gotta be careful. I mean, there was a lot of dinking and dunking going on against the Washington football team yesterday, and Dwayne Haskins almost beat you. So,
you know what I mean?
The Jets have given an old golden opportunity that you got to make cash.
The offensive line coming back.
Say it again?
I think the only thing that's going to save us is our offensive line is back and healthy, and we've got a healthy running game.
Well, now, Rashad Penny did, you know, he returned. Carlos Hyde busted one out. And, you know, Russell did have one big long run, but just 121 yards and a score. And a pick, you know, that was...
Yeah, I'm not taking anything for granted, but like I say, it's a gift going into this game where
totally
you control your destiny as opposed to having to have that win.
Oh, so my gosh. No doubt about it. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of a mood.
Or Christmas.
Okay. How about, let's just go Festivus because I'm airing grievances
Festivus,
today.
There
Thank
you go. That is it. I knew
Wednesday.
I could count on Rich Eisen to give me the perfect answer.
You bet, brother.
God bless us all, everyone.
Thank you very much. Everybody's so happy because the Jets...
A Festivus for the rest of us!
That's on Wednesday, right?
Festivus Wednesday.
Festivus Wednesday
Festivus
coming up.
Festivus Wednesday.
It's a Festivus miracle!
Chris, let me ask you this question.
What do you got, Rich?
Christopher, I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
More likely to happen off of this weekend.
Okay.
More likely to happen. Sam Darnold takes this opportunity and winds up with all of the riches that they do have in next year's draft, winds up the guy that we hoped he would be when the Jets drafted him third overall. He shakes off the entire Jets nation wishing he loses so he's gone. Winds up being the face of the franchise we all hoped he could be. A New York athlete from Southern California who looks past everything, is unfazed by all of it, and actually takes the Jets to the promised land. Or Charlie Woods wins more green jackets than his dad, based off of what we saw this weekend. An 11-year-old darting greens.
Just striping drives.
I mean, drawing balls,
oh
fading balls.
Knocking down putts.
Fist pumping like his daddy. I mean, with the grit,
just carbon copies.
I'm seriously asking you this question: which is more likely
Tiger
to
has
happen?
Five green jackets. Oh man, Charlie Woods is more likely. Sorry, Rich.
Do not get me started. I'm serious. I'm sitting there during game.
Update that one.
Charlie Woods.
On game day morning, doing the show, and I'm watching.
That's a great question, by the way.
Go ahead and ask it. That's why I'm asking it. So, what's more likely to happen? And I would probably agree with you. And I know it's nuts. Tiger was born into the national consciousness, if you will, on the Mike Douglas show. You remember when brought Tiger as
Making
a three-year-old,
putts.
Right? Or a four-year-old?
Two or three.
I don't know how old he was, but he was on the Mike Douglas show, which those who definitely are not old enough to remember was kind of like name any daytime talk show right now, Ellen or
Drew Barrymore show,
whatever you want to do, right? Kelly Clarkson show, just like that. Mike Douglas was the host of it. Okay. He was 2 years old when Earl brings him on the Mike Douglas show because he's so beyond his years golfing. And who's standing there, just to add the wildest pop culture variable to all of this, who's standing on the set but Bob Hope? Okay? That's how Tiger was born into the national consciousness of this country. But it's one thing when you're just making putts and showing off your golf swing in front of Bob Hope and the country and Mike Douglas. Right? Another thing is when you are, because, you know, Earl wasn't one of the greatest golfers of all time.
No.
You're the son of one of the greatest golfers of all time. Doing it in front of a nationally televised sitting down audience watching him fire at the hole. I mean, we're wondering, seriously, we were wondering about how not playing well in front of a national TV audience might affect somebody as mentally rock solid, as fully confident in himself, Tom Brady. Remember that? Tom was not, he was in the woods, he was here, he was there, and we're like, this has got to affect Tom Brady, whose mind never gets called into question on anything else.
Never.
But here we got an 11-year-old out there.
He's 11.
Now, Tiger would have to know, okay, my son's ready for this sort of thing. He'd have to know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been caddying for
him. Dude, there was one shot. There was one shot. He's on the left side of the fairway. There's trees to his left. And the hole is tucked behind the trees, about 175 yards away, with a 5-wood. He hit a he hooked it. He hit a hook shot, and then as he finished his swing, he walked into the fairway to look beyond the tree line, knowing this is where he was aiming it. He looked just like his daddy, and he wound up putting it on the green within 4 feet. And then saying, I got this. I'll take the putt, Dad. And they eagled. Yeah. And I can't do that. And I'm 40 years older than him.
No.
So I ask you that question. What's more probable? Sam Darnold shakes all of this off because it does look like right now the Jets will not get Trevor Lawrence. He shakes all of it off. And as you know, I'm not yet ready to turn the page and start thinking about the current Jets' future minus Trevor Lawrence. But I'd imagine they'd stick with Sam Darnold. And you go into battle with him and you surround him finally with all the proper pieces and the right coach. And so he takes the Jets after all of this to the promised land. Or Charlie wins more green jackets than his dad.
Seen ghosts.
Okay.
I mean, it's up at Rich Eisen show right now.
I'm going to vote for Charlie on that one.
That's what I voted for.
Charlie's, the kid's 11.
Charlie's going to win a major by the time he's 13.
I'm sitting there watching game day. I'm doing game day morning, and I'm looking down at my Twitter feed because I like to be current. It's news breaking, whatever. All I see is just one remarkable, he fist-pumped putting a ball like his dad.
Yeah. His swing is perfect.
And I'm sitting there later on in the day modeling for my child what it looks like to be miserable when your team wins a game. Like, this is not right.
Yeah, yeah. You guys won. You should be happy. Not happy.
Uh-oh, Daddy.
Missed out on 16.
Uh-oh, Daddy. Sam Darnold just... Uh-oh, Daddy. Here's Frank Gore. He just got a first down. Literally, Cooper's calling the game. Oh, Daddy. Higbee got called for holding. That's the moment. Rams took the lead. Higbee called for a block in the back. Took the points off the board, settled for a field goal, never got the lead back. Honestly, I'm not ready. Frank Gore, and I love you, Frank. I love you, Frank.
Hey, Frank said he wasn't going out like that.
He wasn't going out like
that. By the
way,
you called that last week, Rich. You, at one point last week, I forget the day, you said something to the effect of, you think Frank Gore is going to go out like that?
He won't.
And he didn't.
He didn't.
Playing with fire.
He was running hard.
Playing with fire, and the fire is burning. But there is one person who has like got that plane full of fire retardant, just could fly right over and put it right out, and that's Air Mitchell Trubisky. You've got it in you, Mitchell. I am going to absolutely ride this horse all week because I'm not yet ready to face reality.
I have some thoughts about
facts.
Mitch later.
Facts. These are all facts for me right now.
The early Thursday hire
register? Seriously. We'll do that.
We read into things a little too much.
Christmas Eve higher register.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy. That's the guy. He's our Luke Skywalker. He's the Jets' only hope. Seriously, should I record a message for Mitchell and send it through a droid? I might have to do that. I am desperate. Hour 3 of Keep Tlaib coming up. You're our only hope, Mitch.
Oh, my gosh.
Can I be honest?
The Rebel Force is taking over the Jets right now.
The Rebel Force.
You're our only hope, Mitchell. Seriously. That's the Patriots coming in Week 17.
Exactly.
That's the guy. That's the guy I want. I want him. I want him. Just take that G off and put a leopard on the side and a pool in the stands. And here we go.
Bill plays the third.
Oh, baby.
And a pool in the stands.
Gardner Minshew. Here we go. Doug Marrone, who the Jets knocked on his door to be coach of the Jets. Doug doesn't want to go out 1-15. No, sir. He does not. And the Bears are the one team, as you know, that let's just beat up on Allen Robinson and get him bitching and moaning and yelling on the sideline, reaching for his Twitter account to unfollow all the Bears accounts. That's what I want Sunday. That's what I need Sunday. Gotta have it. Because I'm not ready to face the other.
I don't think Mitch has ever played Jacksonville.
Never. It's a whole new world.
He's not.
It's a whole new world.
I'm going to go Aladdin there too. Fly on my carpet. All right. Aqib Talib coming up.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I am joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. You know, in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year that there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you agree.
You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or a general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Jaws, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. So,
hey, I got a C-note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.